worship team do a really great job today. Amen. We are blessed. I like that new song, Priscilla. All right. Children, it's time to head on upstairs to your class. There is a bunch of them today. You need to live the adventure. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open to the book of Matthew chapter 24. We're going to go down to verse 36. Let's just jump right into our text and kind of set up where we're heading from there. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. Let's look up here for a second. What were they doing? They were living. They were just living. How many of us are just living? There was nothing special. There was nothing unique in that moment. They were just living. And then Noah entered the ark and everything changed. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So will the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in which part of the night the thief would come in, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I'm titling this message today, When the Unexpected Happens. When the Unexpected Happens. Let me just, by a show of hands, how many of us had something unexpected happen this week? Just about every single person in this room. It seems like, for the most part, in our life, there's a reaction to unexpected. We do some planning, we put some things together, we say, okay, this is how things are going to go. But more often than not, we are in a reaction mode to the unexpected. Things that come down and we just can't even prepare for them. But I believe that this text is going to show us something, and there's two different sides of this, and it shows us something about the nature of God. And one of the first things that I want us to take a look at is that what he is actually saying here is there is a warning in this passage about living a life of presumption, of just presuming that what you think is going to be the way things are going to happen. And he's saying something here. He's saying, listen, you got to be careful, because God hasn't given any one of us any indication as to the time, hour, and place that he's going to return. So the next time that you see some sort of guy jump on the television and he starts making bold predictions, just turn him off. He has absolutely no idea what he's talking about, and that's a false prophet. But there's this warning here in the first part of this that I want to look at. And the first part of this is he's saying, you need to not live a life of presuming. One of the biggest things that I think all of us struggle with a bit is procrastination. How many of you guys tend to procrastinate? Listen, manana is not a fruit of the Spirit. What was that? Oh, the Winans? Tomorrow? Yeah, oh, I just hear that. Thank you. This idea that somehow we can presume we have time to change our life, we have time to to make right a wrong. We have time to ask forgiveness. We have time to take that special risk, that unique risk that we've been challenging ourselves. We have time to get our lives right with God. We're always thinking that there's time. And then one morning we wake up and the unexpected happens, and guess what? We don't have time anymore. I was watching the television this week, and I was shocked to see this. You guys know the fitness trainer, Bob Harper, the Biggest Loser? You guys know that? Phenomenally in shape guy. I mean, strong, powerful. Guess what happened to him? He had a heart attack. This totally unfit man has a heart attack. And it reminded me of something a ways back. Maybe some of you guys remember this guy. His name was Jim Fox. Jim Fox wrote the definitive book on running. It was literally called Running. Guess how Jim Fox died? He was out jogging. Now, please don't walk out of here saying, Pastor Phil just gave me an excuse to never exercise. Trust me, you'll fall over a lot faster not exercising than you will exercising. But you know, there's this, I'm just using this illustration of, you would presume that these people, because they're in such great health, they would never have any health issues. We can't presume anything. So what does that mean to me? In that passage of scripture, I think one of it is that we have to change the methods of how we live, where we start to live life as every day as an individual gift. That when I wake up in the morning, I look at this and I say, thank you, God. Thank you for today. You know what? Because of the weight of a lot of the things that my wife and me have been carrying, we have really been struggling with today. Because your mind starts to go down the road to, okay, well, we're here today, but man, we've got a lot of stuff we got to deal with in our tomorrows. That's why the Bible says not to borrow trouble from tomorrow. I will say this, I believe it becomes almost, I don't want to use the word impossible, but boy, it sure does strain your faith when you're always worried about what's coming and you're not just dealing with what's right here right now. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, about putting the things in God's hands. You know, when we take the things out of God's hands is when we start thinking about, okay, well, tomorrow or a week from now or... So Jesus is saying these words, and he's saying, listen, you need to be alert. What is the statement in there? He says, basically, you need to be aware. You need to always be aware. And I think this is one of those things where the devil really works overtime to start to rock us into this mode, and we start to not stay on top of our alert, and we start getting so focused on problems, and we get so focused on what we're dealing with, that instead of just really going to the one who is the only one who can change what we're dealing with. You know, one of the things that I'm having to understand about God is that God doesn't always change things the way I want them to be changed, but he always has a solution to whatever I'm dealing with. All things work together for the good of those who love him. That's a great scripture, but you know what? That's a tough scripture. That's not an easy scripture. Because this is one of those things where you have to be able to back up and you have to say, Lord, I need to have a larger view of the situation, because I'm just got my eyes focused in on just this little spot. And God's saying, no, I've got this thing figured out. So in the first part of this text, we see something about God and we get a warning. And I believe the warning is simply this. Don't presume. Don't presume you have something more than what you have. All you have is the moment that you have right now. How many times have I heard people say to me, I wish I could have gone to that person and made things right with them. And now they're gone. So they've passed away. It doesn't matter to them anymore. But now you have to carry guilt in your life. And you have a spot in your life where the devil can beat you up for the rest of your days. You should have made things right with your father. You should have made things right with your mother. those situations with your siblings, they really didn't mean that much. That situation with that person in the church, whatever, you know, that you decide, I know I got to do this, but I'm just not ready to do it. I just don't want to do it. There's a lot of things as a Christian that you do not want to do that God says to do. And when we don't do them, we put ourselves on the side of what is wrong instead of on the side of what is righteous. There is an even deeper implication here. And that deeper implication of presuming is that God could come back and you miss out. I remember I said this to you a few weeks ago. It was so funny when she said it. But my grandmother looked over at me and she said, some of you people aren't going to even know when Jesus comes back because you're going to be on your phone. Made me chuckle, but you know what? There's some truth in that. We're so distracted. We're so distracted by society. We're distracted by culture. We're distracted by the internet. We're distracted by 24-hour news. You know, my goodness, how many times do I have to turn on the television and hear the very same, you know, newscast and the same frantic talking head? Look, we've already heard this thing 1,000 times. But you know what? Because we are a consumer, we have this consumer mentality that we live with. That's all we do. We just got to turn on the news to hear the same bad thing that we've been hearing for the same 2 weeks. Has anything changed? And so we get distracted. And I believe that's the first part of this is there is a warning here. And I think that in this day and age that we are living in, we as Christians need to heed this warning with a greater fervency than we have ever heeded it before. Instead of maximizing our faith, we're minimizing it. Instead of walking in the true depths of what God has for us, we're swimming in the shallow waters, getting washed up on the shore like a beached whale. And God's saying, come deep. I've got what you need. Literally, I've got what you need. And it's not found on the beach. It's found in the deep waters. But there's a second part of this that I see as I'm reading this. Because I also believe not only is there a warning here about presumption, but there's also an insight into God's character. And the insight into part of this that as I was reading this over and over, I started to sense a word of comfort. Because as I was looking at this, I started to think about how the nature of God is to always move in unexpected ways. If there's one undeniable truth about this life, is that life has a way of changing in a heartbeat. And that we have to find a way to navigate through that, where if the Bible says that without faith we cannot please the Lord, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one in this room that has experienced this, but man, there are moments. You know, I sent a note to my pastor, and I said, Pastor, I've never felt my faith stretched to the point that it is being stretched right now. And maybe there's something about that, that us being honest with ourselves, that when we are talking about what we're doing, what we're going through, you know what, this idea that somehow you just mentally place yourself in other places, just, you know, I'm not claiming that. And, well, if it's your reality, you can claim it or not claim it. You still got to deal with it. But the side of this here is that, you know what? We get weary, don't we? We get run down. You know, I just kind of felt this morning, I said, I was just sitting in my office, and I just said to myself, I feel just worn out. Just worn out. And then it was like I was praying. I said, Lord, the worn out preacher has to go and talk to the people today. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, No. You may be worn out, but I'm not. And I want to show you something, that this has never been about you. This is about my word. And my word will always have life in it. And my word will always give hope. We see over and over and over in our Bible a record of God dealing with his people in moments where it seems like everything is lost, when it seems that the situation is completely hopeless and the worst and it is about to happen, that we're just in this inevitable moment. And you know what? It's in those moments that we usually find God showing up. Why is it that God waits till we're going under? Why is it that he waits until the stress level is so high that your hair starts to turn gray? Why is it that you have to cry buckets of tears? I don't have any answer. I can't give you a simple answer, because all I know is that his ways are not my ways, and his ways are higher than my ways. And in those things, I do know that God stretches us to the point where, you know what, when he shows up unexpectedly, we realize that it is totally God, and he is the only one that can get credit for it. One of the reasons that we need to understand and read our Bible, because in that we can find hope. Moses stands in front of a burning bush, and the voice of God says he's about ready to free his people. You know what? They had reached the end, and God speaks out of a bush. You know what I call that? I call that an unexpected moment. The parting of the waters. Just imagine that. He finally gets the people out of Egypt. They're marching. They're having, woo. The problem with the children of Israel, they didn't even know how to be free anymore. They'd been held up for 400 years, and that's a problem that a lot of us have. It's interesting what Terry was sharing in communion today, that many of us, we don't even know how to be free because we've been enslaved for so long, and that's what the children of Israel were. They come marching down to the water, and they turn around, and there comes the army, and they're looking at Moses like, man, you brought us all the way out here to just get dragged back. What does God do? He parts the water. It's an unexpected moment. How about Haman? Haman is at the moment where he's about ready to drop the trap on the children of Israel. It's at the last moment, the last hour. What happens? Mordecai gets wind of the plot. He turns it over to Esther. Esther goes into the king. The king shows her favor. God turns the thing around. If there had been one twist in that, What would have happened? The decree would have gone forth, and it would have happened, and the children of Israel would have been wiped out. It's at that last moment. How about the widow? The widow in the Old Testament. The Bible says this, that she has just one meal left. Just enough food for one meal. She is going to make a meal for her and her son, and then she is going to sit down and wait for them to starve to death. Yet in comes the prophet, and the prophet looks at her and says, you know what, why don't you do this? Let's make a meal and we'll share it together. And she decides that in that moment, she's going to do what the prophet says. And the Bible says she never had to worry about food again. In the unexpected moment when she was about ready to give up all hope, guess what happened? God showed up. Daniel, how about Daniel? Daniel decides that he is not going to bow his knee. He is not going to do as the king says. And so the king says, okay, you want to do that? I'm going to take you, and you know what? I'm going to take you and your faith and all your Bibles and whatever, and we're going to take you down to the lion's den, and we're going to throw you in. Let's see how that works out. So he gets thrown into the lion's den, and guess what happens? They go the next morning, and they yell down there. The king yells down because he says, hey, Daniel, are you okay? Yeah, no problem. The lions kept me warm last night. They're really comfortable to sleep on. Because the Bible says that God shut the mouths of the lions. So in a moment when the lions were supposed to be there to tear him apart and to rip him to shreds, what did they do? They did nothing. because it was an unexpected moment. Just a few chapters later, we have another situation where we got three Hebrew boys, once again, put in a position, bowed to the idol. They say, no, my knee will never bow to anything but to my God. So guess what? The king decides, okay, we're going to make an example out of you. Not only are we going to burn you alive, but we're going to make this fire so hot that it has never been this hot before. Come on, some of us know what that feels like. When life just gets really, really hot and you don't know what you're going to do and it just feels like this might be it. They throw him in. What does the Bible say? King looks inside and he says, did we throw three guys in there? Or did we throw four guys? Because I see a fourth man in there. Once again, an unexpected moment that when the three men thought that this might be it and they were willing to continue in their faith, what happened? God showed up. How about Lazarus? Lazarus, not only does he die, Jesus decides, I'm going to teach these people a lesson. I'm going to teach them a lesson. And the lesson was this. They knew that after 3 days that the body would start to decay. So Jesus says, okay, I'm going to wait for 4 days. And as he walks in, he hears the people, oh! And even his Lazarus' sister comes up and says, where were you? If only you had showed up. If only you had been. See, this is the thing about God in unexpected moments. What other people call dead, he says, I can breathe life into it at any moment. Some of us have places in our life that there just feels like there's nothing but death. Oh my God, hear the word of the Lord this morning. What seems dead to God, he can do whatever he needs to. Amen? He says, go over there and roll the rock away. Go over and roll the rock away. And what happens? He says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I imagine it was a split decision as to what people thought was going on. Maybe to those who had seen Jesus do some miracles, they were like, oh, this might be getting interesting. But then I imagine there was a whole other group of people that were looking and saying, what in the world is this crazy man doing? See, here it is. When God starts to show up in unexpected ways, there's going to be people around you that look at what's going on in your life saying, why are you still keeping your faith? Why are you still believing that there's life here? Why are you still believing there's hope here? How would you have liked to have been in the boat with the disciples? The Bible says into the fourth watch, late into the night, the storm is raging. They're pretty sure that, I can imagine that the disciples were looking at each other and saying, brothers, it's been a good ride. Brothers, I've enjoyed my time with you. If I start screaming like a baby when the boat sinks, please don't think harshly of me. I'm afraid. The boat's tearing itself apart in the storm. They think that this may be it. And then they look out. What is that? What's that walking across the water? And as the figure gets closer through the rain and through the wind blowing, they look and it's a man. There's a man walking on the water and he's walking toward this sinking boat. And then they realize it's Jesus. Peter, oh my God. He just jumps out of the boat. See, this is our record. It's the record that we need to hold on to. It's that record that when you feel like you're at your end, you know that your end is usually when God shows up. When the unexpected happens. Sometimes we lose our sense of God at that time. And I was looking at the Bible and I was saying, and I was praying about this. I said, okay, God, how do I handle the part of before the unexpected happens, a lot of times you lose heart. You do. I'm, you know, I've met some people that have just great, terrific faith, and they're awesome. But I remember sitting and reading some of Mother Teresa's notes. And you can judge her faith however you want to. That's her standing with God is between her and God. But what I'll say about Mother Teresa is she was an amazing woman. And I personally believe that I will be walking on streets of gold with that woman someday. But I will say this, when you read her accounts of what it was like to be in Calcutta, and she would write in there, I can't do this. I've got to leave this. I can't do what I'm being asked to do. And then I go back into the Bible, and I read Solomon's words in his weariness, and he writes these words. He says, oh, where is my beloved? How about Job? Job wrote these words, oh, that I knew where to find him. You know what he was saying? He wrote those words in the middle of the pure hell that he was living through. Oh, that I knew where to find him. I will confess, there have been times when I have said those very words, maybe in my own voice, oh God, I wish I knew where to find you. And maybe the one that strikes me the most, because even Jesus felt this. How many of you guys remember on the cross? As he was getting crucified, and he would actually say these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Jesus. There are references, and I like to call them suddenly moments in the Bible. Suddenlies. Tell somebody next to you, get ready for a suddenly. You know what suddenlies are? Suddenlies are when one moment you're sitting in the middle of hell, and then the next moment you see the hand of the Lord delivering you. One minute you're sitting in hopelessness, and the next minute, you're triumphant in victory. One minute, you feel like you're going under, and the next minute, you feel like you're walking on water. And it has absolutely nothing to do with your strength, your power, your might, your resources, and it has everything to do with the power of the Holy Spirit showing up in an unexpected moment of your life. I said this to you a couple weeks ago, and I want to remind you of this. The devil always announces his intended attack. The devil is called a roaring lion. So he's coming. Trouble, when it starts coming at you, it's loud, it's furious, it rages. Financial troubles, relationship stress, health issues, you name it. Whatever it may be, it roars at you. And see, we can recognize that one, but we miss the move of God often because God doesn't come in roaring like a lion. The Bible says he comes in like what? Like a dove. He comes in quietly. He comes in silently, and he comes in without warning. Ooh, man, that gave me a little chill. He comes in without warning. That's why the Bible shows us so many times these sudden moments, these suddenlies, these unexpected occurrences, that when they happen, they're profound. I want to end this very quickly because I believe that suddenlies don't just happen. I believe that there are investments that every single one of us makes so that we can experience an unexpected moment with God. Justice, I believe that we, you know, I've said this to this church before, I'll say it to you again. I believe that God looks at us and says, I need you to be a participant in your miracle. I need you to participate. You know, I've been working very hard the last couple months on my own health and getting healthy. And you want to know why? Because two reasons. My wife told me she doesn't want to spend my life insurance money yet. That's a joke. And the second was, my doctor said, okay, you know, you need to work on this. So I prayed, I said, Jesus, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me because this isn't something that comes easy. I like pizza and wings. And I like eating them at all times of night. I love my barbecue. Oh, I feel like I'm being taken away right now. But you pray and you ask, and then you get working. And then you get fighting. And then you get dealing with whatever it is. Because you know what? I want my suddenly, but I need to be prepared for it. And I need to be investing in it. Let me give you four little things that I wrote down to myself. These are four little things that I believe is about investing in your suddenlies. Here's the first one. I wrote down, be careful of the words you speak. The Bible says that there's life and death in the tongue. And I believe that a lot of times we tip ourselves into the emotional rabbit holes that we go down because we don't know when to keep our mouth shut. And we start speaking life into our fears. We will make our worst fears larger than God because we focus on them, we talk about them, we you know what we do? We worship them. When you're more focused on your fear than you're focused on your deliverer, you are giving worship to something. So it's important to be careful of the words. Now, you're never going to get this perfect, please. Don't walk out of here and start walking in the law like you got to beat yourself over the, oh, I said negative things about my situation. No. What I will say to you this is the warning. When you start to realize that you're being nothing but negative, 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 get out of the situation for a minute. Whether you got to go for a walk, whether you got to go do something to divert your attention from it, but you got to get out of the moment. Because I believe this, and this is not just, you know, the power of positive thinking. I do know very much, and I very much believe, that the words that I speak give life to my environment. And if I can't speak God's word, or I can't speak out of a place of faith and hope, then I need to be quiet. The second thing I wrote down, I said, don't try to fake faith. Don't try to fake faith. If you're trying to fake faith, you know what you're doing? You're putting your faith in faith. Be open and honest with God. If you're going to talk about your fears, you bring your fears to God.